that's for sure. I invite you to take your Bible, Colossians chapter 3, if you would. I got a phone call today. We've been waiting a while to get a heater fixed and in the church back the fellowship hall. Heater's been out, and I got a call this morning. Brother Thompson, he's a guy that's handled the heating and air conditioning here for us for years and years. And he said, I've got the unit. I'll be there in the morning to put it in. And the only thing you need is $7,200, all right? So I said, no problem. It's running in dough. But, hey, I'm glad he's able to get it and glad he's going to be able to put it in. So that's a blessing. We had the Babstry worked on today, too. He had a leak there, so got that operated on. So hopefully that's got it taken care of, all right? So, you know, we hope those things will take care of it. I did get a phone call yesterday from Brother Whitaker, and he was telling me God's really been good to them and blessed, and he said we've had people saved. We've had folks join the church every week since you were here, which was the last Sunday in October, so that is a blessing. We're just thrilled and glad the Lord is blessing and helping there. So that's good. That's good. It's good to have a part in that. You know what? Good to have a part in that. I need somebody that's good at hanging a plaque. We need to get that plaque hung in the foyer of the church that they gave to us. So we'll try to get that done. All righty. Colossians 3. Did I ask you to turn there? Oh, wonderful. Then we're there. Look at verse 1, if you will. The Bible said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, if you want some help with living the Christian life, here are the verses that'll help you. If you'll take these and do what it says, the instruction that we get, especially in the first two verses of this chapter, can make a great difference in your life, once again, if you'll do what it says, all right? Now, I was looking through some sermon notes this afternoon, actually trying to clean up my desk a little bit, and sometimes things get stacked up. My wife said, not sometimes, all the time. But anyway, I pulled out this message, and I was looking at it, and it was about that. It was, I think the title was something like, Who the Lord Couldn't Help. And it's folks that won't do what the Bible says, all right? That was one of the points. If you don't do what God says, God can't help you, you know? And don't blame that on God. But as Christians, you know, if we'll do what it says. The problem, though, in these two verses, it kind of goes against everything the flesh wants to do. The flesh has very little interest in things above. Very little interest in things above. And on the other hand, truthfully, the flesh is centered on things right here below, right here on this earth. That's where the flesh is centered. Like what's the latest fashion? How are the Kardashians doing? What movie actor is going to win an Oscar? Who is going, who's dating who in Hollywood? Hey, how's your 401k doing? And who's going to win the Super Bowl? Hey, that's the thing, all right? That kind of stuff absolutely dominates the conversation in offices and barbershops. And ladies, I don't know what dominates conversation in a hair salon. Never been in one. Don't plan to go, all right? But that kind of stuff, it dominates the conversation around even tables at mealtime, all right? We're way too concerned about things right here, but we're not too concerned about things above because we're so attached to things below. We just get attached to them. So we need, if you will, to redirect our seeker and our setter, all right? And we just want to talk to you just a little bit tonight about it's time to redirect, okay? It's time to redirect. Now, I want you to notice verse 1 gives the condition, all right? Here's the condition. Look, this is the verse that tells us who the instruction is given to. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. All right? If ye then be risen with Christ. Just boil it down. You must be born again. You must be born again. The Bible tells us the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. All right? And until a person's been saved, he's not going to care a lot about his spiritual life. You know, I'll be honest, I'm concerned a lot of times with church members that don't seem to be too concerned about spiritual things, and it causes me to wonder, have you really been born again? Now you say, well, you shouldn't judge them. I'm not judging anybody. I'm concerned about it. Are you really born again? If you're not concerned about the things of God at all, and the flesh just reigns supreme. It'll take you everywhere that you probably don't need to go, and it'll have you involved in stuff you don't need to be involved in, but that's where the focus is, all right? Because that flesh cries out. It cries out. So the condition, hey, if it's going to do you any good, you got to be born again. It's the born-again child of God that has Christ in him. All right? That's who he is, all right? That ought to give us a completely different view of spiritual things. Completely different view of spiritual things. Why? Well, we've been born again. We've got the Holy Spirit living in us. All right? So the Lord's in us. That ought to generate within us a different view of things. We ought to see things differently. Why? Because of what's happened to us. Hey, I'll be honest with you. When I was a kid, I saw things the way a kid sees things. I didn't. You said, what'd you worry about when you was a kid? I didn't worry about anything. I wasn't worried about where the next meal was coming from. I wasn't worried, you know, about the stock market crashing. I wasn't worried about the price of groceries. I didn't worry about anything. As I got older, got concerned about those kind of things. Then I got married, got a different view. Had to be concerned, had to be looking at those things, had to take them in consideration. Look, when you get born again, it gives you a different view. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit, and he's not interested in receiving the things of the Spirit. That's why you'll go oftentimes, you'll knock on the door and try to talk to somebody, and they'll say, I'm not interested. Why? Well, never been born again. Never been born again. They have no interest in spiritual things whatsoever. But if you're in Christ, and he's in you, there should be an appetite for the things of God. There should be an appetite there. There ought to be something that has a longing, okay? Just has a longing. There ought to be a longing in us for fellowship with other believers. Just to have that privilege of fellowship. There ought to be an appetite for the Word of God. Or the Word of God. There should be an appetite for the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. I want to hear it. I want to hear it, you know? We sing a song sometimes in the choir, I want to know more about my Lord. Man, we ought to want to know more, all right? That appetite ought to be in there, you know? The appetite, it'll be stirred, all right? There should be a desire for what God has for you. Should be a desire. And with that in mind, if you then be risen with Christ, the Bible says, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. Seek those things. So that beggars the question, what's above? What is above? Well, Galatians chapter 4. Drop back there if you would. It's real close, not hard to find. Galatians chapter 4. Here's one thing that's there, all right? Galatians chapter 4, verse 26. Galatians 4, verse 26, the Bible said, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Hey, that new Jerusalem, it's above. It's above. You get over in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, it begins to talk about a fellow by the name of Abraham. And it says, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. I just want to tell you something. I'm looking for that city. I'm looking for that city. Now, I'm not out beating the bushes. I don't get in my car and drive around looking for it. I said, where is it? Because it's above. I'm looking up. All right? Hey, seek those things which are above. He's looking for that city. I'm looking for that city. We ought to be looking for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn there, if you would, and look with me in verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, for the Lord himself, notice, shall descend from heaven with a shout. Hey, that means Jesus Christ, that's our Lord, he's above. He's above. Man, don't you think you ought to be seeking him? Paul said it this way. He said, that I may know him. Know him. How are you going to know him? Well, you need to seek him. Need to seek him. Need to go looking for him. All right? We need to have that desire to do it. You know, it's amazing. People want to know other people, want to know this person or that person. But we're to seek him who's above. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's some other things that are above. The Bible said we're to seek those things which are above. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible said, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Hey, the Bible tells us our rewards, the rewards at the judgment seat, you know what? They're above. They're not here. That's not going to take place here. It's going to take place in heaven. So we start seeking those things that are above. We're looking at rewards. You say, well, I'm not interested in all of that. You will be that day. You will be. Have you ever been somewhere where everybody's getting something but you? Ever been in that situation? Everybody's getting something, but I didn't get anything. They're handing out all these rewards or awards. You keep waiting for your name to call. Your name doesn't get called. So, well, no big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. We can put on a big front, but we didn't like it, all right? Now, you might be able to handle it a little bit better now as an adult, mature, but some adults can't handle it. And I'll tell you what, I believe with all my heart, when you stand before God, you want to hear, hey, there, you're going to want a reward. There's going to be, hey, we're to look for that. Not only that, go back all the way to Psalms 119, the 119th Psalm, if you would. Just look at one verse here. Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hey, the truth, the eternal truth of God's eternal word is above. Is above. Hey, we start talking about seek those things that are above. You say, what are we looking for? Well, we're looking for things like the eternal word of God. We're talking about seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about seeking the rewards that we can have the opportunity to receive at the judgment seat of Christ. We're talking about looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. We ought to seek those things that are above. Seek those things that are above. Dr. Sam Gipp was here, and I heard him say on more than one occasion, he said, God's people ought to be seeking to put a smile on the face of our Father in heaven. Man, I believe that. Find what pleases him and do it. We ought to seek that thing which is above. Seek to please him. Hey, can I say this? Those things that are above are things that are eternal. They're eternal. All this stuff we collect down here. All this stuff. And by the way, trust me. If you think I'm just preaching to you, you're totally wrong. I am a collector of stuff. Now, my stuff, unlike your stuff, is good stuff, all right? We all feel that way, right? My stuff is good stuff. Now, your stuff, not so much, all right? But, hey, we've got that. We like to do it. It's easy. Boy, is it easy for you and I to get consumed with the things that are here, the things that we can see and the things that we can touch, maybe even hold in our hand, just be able to do that. We were in Montgomery, Alabama last week, and we toured the first Confederate White House, and that was there in Montgomery. It was the seat of the Confederate government for 3 months, I think, and we had a guide there, and man, he was just a tremendous guide, and it was so much fun talking to him and listening to him, and he told us, he said, hey, we've ran out of those mini balls. And those, if you don't know it, are basically bullets that were used in the Civil War. And he said, I'm supposed to get a shipment next week. And he said, I'll bring some. And we were with Cheryl Fonda, and he said, I'll bring some to your desk, and you can get them to him. And I like those kind of things, all right? I like those kind of things. And they've got historical value. Now, a lot of people look at him and said, big deal. How dare you? No, all right. It's not a big deal to you, but it is to me, all right? I like the things that we can see and we can feel, but our problem is so many times we get consumed with those things. Instead, we're to be consumed with those things that are going to last for eternity. Last for eternity. That's what ought to consume us, all right? Hey, the souls of family and friends, and even those of whom we just merely meet or see. Those souls are going to be somewhere forever. They're going to be somewhere forever. We may very well determine by what we do or don't do their eternal destination. Man, those kind of things ought to charge us up a little bit, all right? That they ought to do that. The Bible said, seek those things which are above. Well, so many people today, we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking in the wrong place. If you ever find money on the ground, you found money maybe laying around, if you're not careful, what you'll wind up doing is looking down all the time, just on the chance you'll find some more money. But man, look what you miss. Look what you miss by looking down all the time. Hey, so many people are not looking in the right place. If you're in Christ, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. But then verse 3 says, set your affection on things above. On things above, not on things on this earth. You know, thinking about these verses, it's very hard to think right when the heart is not right. Very hard to think right when the heart's not right. Yet, we find ourselves in a world that's pretty much governed by the mind. We live amongst people that pride themselves on being reasonable. Reasonable. Now, reasoning is what you do in your head, all right? It's what you do in your head. That means we as Christians have a problem. We're not told to walk by reason. We're not told to live by reason. Now, the Bible does say that we've got a reasonable faith, all right? The Bible does say, you know, there's something, it's a reasonable faith. But the truth is, hey, we're to walk by faith. We're to live by faith. Can I just say this in all honesty? Sometimes it's not reasonable. It's not reasonable. It doesn't make sense. And you say, well, that's not reasonable to think that. The easiest example, and I know you get accused when you use that, but the easiest example is giving. You know, because the Bible said give and it began. It said, well, that's not reasonable. That is not reasonable, all right? It's not reasonable to think if I'll give, I'll have more. If I give more of what I've got, I'll get. That's not reasonable. It doesn't make sense to the human mind. Hey, it doesn't make sense that the way up is down. You know, if you want to be exalted, then submit yourselves. And the Bible said he'll exalt you in due time. That's not reasonable. The reasonable thing is, hey, check it all out, work real hard, put your best foot forward, and make sure you know you do your best to make yourself presentable, take advantage of every opportunity. But the Bible said, no, the way up is down. That's not reasonable. But it's a matter of our faith. It's a matter of our faith. And what we're going to do is going to be determined so much by where our affections are. Just exactly what do you love? Just exactly who do you love? Most of the time we're in love with what we see. How many times have you heard some dumb guy who's walking along, sees a beautiful young lady and says, I'm in love. No, you aren't. You know, it's just we've seen something. Or a lot of us, you see that new car, and we go, I'm in love. No, you aren't. Might like to have it. But we love what we see. But the Bible says our affections ought to be on things above. Now, I'll be honest with you, those things I can't see except by the eye of faith. I can't see those things that are above. And just real short, real simple, we're to love our Lord. He said, you're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Everything you've got, we're to love him. Now, I've not seen him. Have you? By the way, if you claim you have, I'm gonna try not to call you a liar, okay? But I'm just getting real suspicious of people that said, man, I saw a 900-foot Jesus. No, you didn't. Oh, you didn't. Hey, but I love him. I want to love it. And man, I hope my affection is there more so than anywhere else that it's on him. I'll be honest with you. I think we're to love his word. We've already said, and the Bible said there in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's there, the truth of it. We're to love the word of God. We're to love the word of God. You know, there was a time in times past where God's people had a real sense of the reality of heaven. And boy, I'm afraid so much that we've lost a little bit of that sense of the reality of heaven. And it's become imaginary to us to some extent. And we look at it and we just sort of conjecture about it. And really maybe the only time we think about it very much is somebody dies and we say that phrase that you hear, well, they're in a better place. Not if they weren't born again, they aren't. They're not born again, they're not in a better place. But I tell you what, heaven ought to be real to us. Folks, that's our real home. That's our real home. Our real home is not here. We're just sojourning here. We have the opportunity to serve here. But this is not our real home, all right? Now I live down there at the end of MacGregor, all right? Or MacDougall, excuse me. I don't even know where I live. I live right down at the end of MacDougall Street, all right? And that's where my house is, but that's not where my real home is. My real home is in heaven, all right? And I realize that real satisfaction is not here. Not here. It's temporary. It's temporary. And I've lived long enough that I feel like I almost know more people that are above than I know those that are here. I think about family. Think about friends. Think about church members. Well, I've followed so many hearses and walked to so many graves to bury the body of loved ones. I mean, cemeteries all around hold the bodies of members of this church. People that I've known, people that I loved, but they're in heaven today, all right? They're in heaven today. Heaven ought to be real to us. Let's set our affection on things above, on things that are eternal. Things that are eternal. Look, I'm not discounting and I'm not telling you that it is wrong for you to have things here. It's not. But I've heard it said this way. You've heard it said this way. It's okay to have some things here. Just don't let those things have you. Just don't let them have you. All right? Realize that. I think some cases God's going to have to pry the fingers of some Christians off of some stuff here. Because we've just fallen in love with it so much and we get the idea, can't do without it. Oh, listen, let's set our affection on things above. That when that time comes for us to depart here, hopefully in the rapture, we'll all go together. But if not, boy, when the time comes for us to move to our real home, that it'll not be, oh man, don't want to go. No, let's not have that attitude. Your life, the Bible says here in Colossians 3, verse 3, your life is hid with Christ in God. You ever think about that? That's your life, okay? Your life, okay? Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Galatians 2, verse 20. Flip back there. It's real close. Galatians 2, I was going to quote it, and I probably wouldn't get it exactly right. Galatians 2, look at verse 20, would you? Galatians 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul had that view. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he said, for to me to live is Christ. But then he says, and to die is gain. To die is gain. We look at death as a loss. We use the terminology. People say, well, I lost my wife so many years ago. Or I lost my husband, or I lost my son, or I lost my grandparents. Well, the great thing about it is, and you know it, we didn't lose them if they're saved. I didn't lose my mom and my dad. I know where they are, okay? I'm separated from them, but I didn't lose them, okay? Didn't lose them. And the Bible said, boy, we're to look at things that way. We're to realize, hey, your life is hid with Christ in God. And that being the case, our direction, our look ought to be up. Our affections ought to be centered on things above. Verse 4 says, now notice, let's read these verses again. Verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for because you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Hey, we're going to appear with him in glory. Not here. There. There. We're going to be there. Going to spend an eternity with the Lord and Savior above, not here below. All right? You said, well, there'll be a new Jerusalem. Yes, there will. There'll be new heavens and a new earth. All right? We ought to be seeking those things that are above, loving those things that are above, so we won't be much adjustment for us when the time comes to move. I'm already loving it. How many times have you heard people that have a newborn baby? Well, I've already been loving him or her for 9 months. Already been loving him. Hadn't seen him, but I've been loved. Hey, I haven't seen the Lord, but I've been loving him now for a long time. For a long, long time. Looking forward to that city. You know, some people, it's going to be a terrible adjustment for them. That you say, what was wrong with Mrs. Lot? All of her heart and all of her love was in Sodom. That's why. That's where everything was. That's why she turned to look. That's where her life was. The Bible said we're hid with Christ in God. And the Bible says your life is hid with Christ in God. Hey, our life's not here, it's there. It's there. We're sojourning here, all right? Apostle Paul, when he's writing that church at Colossae, he tells us, you want to magnify and change your Christian life, then learn to look up. Learn to look up. Oh, preacher, there's trouble. There's problems. Look up. Look up. Well, I'm having all kinds of... Hey, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. It's time to redirect our thoughts, to redirect our affections. It's just time to look up, okay? Look up. Look up. When he comes, we're going to be with him in glory. We ought to be looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. When I was a kid in school, I was always looking forward to the last day of school. The first day of school, I started looking forward to the last day of school. Now, I'm not kidding you. And I did. I was looking forward to it. And it seemed like it was forever before it got there. Just seemed like forever. You know, it seems like the Lord's never going to come. But I know he is. Oh, he is. I'm looking forward to that coming. Hey, folks, let's look up, all right? Let's look up. Heavenly Father, would just help us tonight. Help us, Lord. Here we are. Each person here, to my knowledge, professes faith in Christ and claims to be born again. Lord, would you just help us to do what the Bible says, to learn to set our affections